Welcome to the Speak Up Talk Radio Network. I am your hostess, Pat Rulo. We bring you hand-selected hosts, podcasts, and talk radio programming with listening options, 24/7 streaming or listen on demand. We also feature one-on-one segments with important guests, people who have something to say that you need to hear. Visit speakuptalkradio.com. From dropout to doctor, from poverty to plenty, from a hated job to a rewarding career, could it really be but a matter of mindset? Are our self-imposed limitations something we can conquer? Well, I have the answer to those questions right now with my very special guest and author, speaker, Dr. Reggie Padin. In his new book, Get Out of the Dumpster, A True Story on Overcoming Limitations, Reggie narrates the story of how he went from being a high school dropout, working for pennies, hauling garbage by hand out of a dumpster, to becoming a successful educator, author, entrepreneur, executive coach, and spiritual leader. His mission is all about helping people overcome their dumpster moments and go beyond their limitations. His story has inspired many to believe in themselves and recognize their God-given potential. From 1996 to 2006, Reggie served as an ordained minister in two inner-city churches in Pennsylvania and Michigan, providing people in those communities with educational, career training, ESL, and GED preparation programs in order to enhance their lives. In 2007, Reggie made a career change into the training and development field. He has served as dean of the corporate university at two different multi-billion dollar companies, helping thousands of professionals develop their leadership, management, and communication skills. Beginning in 2009, Reggie also began teaching as an adjunct professor at different local and online universities. His academic credentials include a Master of Divinity, an MBA in Organizational Management, and a Doctorate in Education. And when he's not inspiring and training others to come out of their dumpsters, he's most likely writing, attending a concert, a sporting event, thinking, or simply trying a unique restaurant. A dynamic speaker, Reggie is available for speaking engagements, appearances, and consulting in corporations, colleges, universities, churches, nonprofit organizations, television, and radio programs. And he is with us today from Miami, Florida. Welcome to the show, Reggie.
Well, thank you so much for having me. I'm glad to be here.
Oh, I'm happy you're here as well. You clearly have a story to tell. So before we delve into the advice given in your book, why don't you just share your journey with us?
Oh, my goodness. That's a long one.
Well,
I think you summed it up quite well. I started out as a high school dropout who made some probably the wrong choices in his life. And ended up inside, chest deep inside a dumpster, and decided, this is not what I want for myself. It's not what I want for my family. I believe that I'm meant for something more than this. And so the journey begins. I started making some steps that would get me out of that original dumpster to, what I've been able, to achieve today. And, what I found out is that original dumpster was just the first in many. I think that we all face different dumpsters, some literal, some are emotional, some are mental, some are relational, some are, due to fear and doubt and, career choices. And I mean, all sorts of dumpsters. If we face something that limits us from getting to the next level, that is a dumpster. And so that's my journey. My journey is from, that original dumpster, and all along I've faced other dumpsters, but I think I have found a way to overcome those limitations, and that's what I write about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think a dumpster is an excellent metaphor, and I'm sure we, as you say, we're in different dumpsters throughout different stages in our life. Some are probably more smelly than others, and we've got to recognize that. Was there one moment that you could say was the aha moment where you said, okay, enough is enough, and I've got to do something to get out of this?
Somebody asked me that question. And it triggered back that memory, actually. I remember I was driving back from the landfill because I had to, back the truck up to, the story is basically the company that I was working for was going out of business. And because they were going out of business, they couldn't afford to pay the waste management company anymore to come and pick up the garbage. And so that became my job during that summer. And so I had to go around the company to, in fact, a company truck box truck to every single dumpster around the company and get inside the dumpster, get all that garbage inside the truck and drive it to the landfill. And I had to do the same thing. And when I arrived at the landfill, I had to get inside the box truck, which was really, really hot at that point, and get back there and haul everything out. And I remember driving back to the company, and I used to do this every 2 days. I remember driving back to the company and thinking, you know, I was actually very depressed and thinking to myself, is this it? You know, is this what I'm going to end up doing for the rest of my life? And I remember thinking to myself, no, this is, you know, I had two kids at that point. I think the third was on her way. And I said to myself, this can't be. I need to do something else with my life. And I think that was the aha moment, as you called it. But it was definitely it's been a journey, to say the least.
Was there any person in your life who helped inspire you to get out of the dumpster, or was it all you?
Well, you know, I wish I could take credit. I think that, you know, being a young father and a young husband, when I started the journey, that was my biggest inspiration. I didn't want my kids to see their dad like that. If their dad could do more. I mean, so I'm not putting down people who are sanitation workers. You know, that's people, you know, if that's their choice, that's fine. And I think that if that would have been my choice, I would have been fine with it. But it wasn't my choice. Mm-hmm. And so I decided that I wanted more, and my kids became my biggest inspiration. I felt that I needed to inspire my kids to, you know, because of my background and, you know, my family upbringing and all of that, I became the first person in my household to go to college, to get a degree, and actually to become a PhD. Mm-hmm. And so to me, my children became my biggest motivation, and still to this day they are. You know, I want to make sure that I leave a good legacy and a good example for my four children.
Wow. Well, you should be very proud of all you've done, and I'm sure they are proud of you as well. I want our listeners who may be in their own dumpster. So you have this moment where you think, okay, this is not what I need to be doing. What did you do the next day and the next day and the next day to get you out of there?
Well, you know, interestingly enough, one of the first things that I did was get a clean sheet of paper and a pen. And I started writing down those things that I wanted to accomplish. And, you know, I've been a pretty, thoughtful person. I like to think a lot. And so I wrote down some goals, and, you know, I started analyzing what it would take to reach those goals. So one of the things that I said to myself was that I wanted to, you know, to teach people, you know, because I had gone through a rough experience, and I thought, you know, even all the way back then, I thought that the story would inspire other people to come out of whatever situation was limiting them. And by putting those goals on paper, you know, for instance, you know, become a professor, a teacher, I had to work myself backwards and determine, okay, what is it going to take to become that? And so obviously in my case, you know, I needed to go back and get my GED. So that was my first step. And then I needed to enroll in a college. And then I needed to go for a master's degree, which in my case, because I made a career change about 10 years ago, it ended up being two master's degrees and finally a doctorate. So that was just one of the goals that I had set for myself and what I needed to do. And so basically the next day what I did was, okay, jot down on a piece of paper. And also what I did was, I said, okay, by age whatever, I want to accomplish this. And by age whatever, I want to accomplish this. Subsequently, what I did with that piece of paper is I put it on a spreadsheet. And I created this elaborate spreadsheet, understanding, of course, that the time is not, is not guaranteed. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I said to myself, I promised myself that if I was fortunate enough to reach – a certain age, I wanted to accomplish X, Y, Z. And so that's what I did. I tell people that, you have to formulate in your brain, change your mindset as to what it is that you want to accomplish, but then you need to take action. Without action, nothing's going to happen.
Mm-hmm. Well, I imagine that takes quite a bit of discipline as well.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. You know, because once you commit to it, once you say, and I read in my book, once you make that great decision, you have to set everything else that gets in the way of that goal aside. And that may mean, you have to shut the television off. And if, in my case, I'm not proposing this to your audience, but in my case, I haven't watched a sitcom in over 18 years. Now, I haven't said that I haven't watched television. I've watched a program here and there and a sporting event here and there, but to sit in front of a television on a nightly basis and watch something, I haven't done that in close to 20 years. Mm-hmm. Because I made a choice that I needed to do certain things in my life in order to get to where I wanted to get to. And so that you can apply that to many. You may have to say no to certain friendships and relationships and, to sleep from time to time. But you won't let anything stand in the way of you and your goal.
Mm-hmm. So you talk about the single most important question you must ask yourself. What is that?
What are you going to do about it? Mm. I mean, the reality is that, we all face difficulties, right? Some are great, some are not so great. And we can sit there and dwell on that problem and dwell on that, adverse situation and feel sorry for ourselves. And nothing's going to, you're not going to accomplish anything by feeling sorry about yourself or just dwelling on it. And so you can think about it for a little bit and cry if you need to cry and be upset if you need to be upset. Give yourself that permission to go through the emotions. But then it's like, okay, let's get to work. What am I going to do about this situation? What am I going to do to get out of this dumpster? Mm-hmm. And the reality is that if we are diligent enough to ask that question and to really think through our problems, we can solve them. But just dwelling on them, it's not going to fix it. And in my case, there's been instances where I think that I've taken that probably to an extreme, if you ask some people, because you tend to be so. So focused on it that you don't pay attention to a lot of other stuff around mm-hmm. you. But you really come to the realization that unless I do something about this, no one else, nothing else will. And so, what am I going to do about it? Let's get to work and figure this thing out.
Right, right. And maybe we got ahead of ourselves a bit, because before we can ask, what am I going to do about it? I'm betting that often people don't really realize that they are in a dumpster. So maybe share with us what some common dumpster moments might be so that folks can recognize.
This is the way I describe a dumpster moment. Anything that limits you from getting to a higher level of what you feel you need to be can become a dumpster moment. And I read in my book, you can be the janitor of a company or all the way to the CEO. And I've been able to, to be a corporate coach for executive leaders and for people across the organizations. And this is true for everybody. We all have something that limits us, mm-hmm. whether it's fear or doubt or lack of, quote unquote, lack of time or lack of knowledge or lack of education or lack of money, or we're in the wrong relationship or we have the wrong friends, or we all experience those things. And I tell people that what gets you inside the dumpster, that prolonged, limitation that we all face is lack of purpose. See, once you have purpose and very, very clear in your mind as to what you're called to be, what you're called to do, that will clear up everything else, because then you're working towards that. When you don't have purpose in your life, then you're left to meander through life and wonder exactly what it is that you're supposed to do. Mm. And so you go from here to there. You know, you can be doing one thing one day and give up on that and try to do something differently the next day. And you can spend your entire life doing that. And so that's why I tell people, I say, find your purpose, find what it is that you are called to do and to be, and then give yourself fully to that. And it doesn't mean that you're not going to face struggles or problems or difficulties or even dumpsters, mm-hmm. but at least you'll know that you need to get out of that in order to reach what it is that you're called to be.
Exactly, exactly. And I'm imagining just the health of a person would depend on, you know, how deeply they are and how long they've been in that dumpster. Once you work with passion and purpose, I would imagine that even a person's health would improve.
Oh, absolutely. Because, you know, I mean, it's been proven over and over again that when we lose purpose, you know, the tendency of, you know, depression comes in and, you know, we feel lost. And of course, we don't feel like, you know, we're that we matter or that what we do matters. And of course, that triggers all sorts of, you know, problems in your psyche and in your health. But once you find that purpose, again, I don't want to say that you'll never face difficulties or problems in your life, but at least you know what you're shooting for and what you're working towards. Mm-hmm. And so that brings a whole element. Like, I still face problems. I have all sorts of issues and problems that I need to deal with on a daily basis. But I know that what I'm doing is what I'm called to do. And I get up every single day, very early in the morning, and I go to bed very late at night. And to me, it doesn't feel like work most days. Mm-hmm. It feels because I'm working towards my purpose in life.
Exactly.
And that makes all the difference in the world.
I think it's safe to say that everyone experiences dumpster moments, and that we're not, something's not wrong with us if we're feeling,
No. And in fact, you know, I like to say that, you know, sometimes those dumpster moments are great, the mm-hmm. teaching moments.
Yes.
You can avoid them. I mean, life will throw things your way, you know, that you won't be able to avoid them. However, it becomes a dumpster moment, or it becomes a permanent dumpster if you decide to stay in there.
Right.
If you get stuck and you cannot move outside of that, then it's definitely a dumpster moment that you need to overcome.
Mm-hmm. I'm imagining that there's steps, and hopefully orderly steps, that one can take to reprogram their mind. Share your thoughts with that.
Yeah, I mean, I think that like you mentioned, in the book it's laid out in such a way that, you know, because we all face different, you know, I guess obstacles that we need to overcome, and you know, it starts with the mind, and I write that about in my actually the first chapter after the introduction, that it's you know, you have to change your mindset. But then you have to decide, and then you have to begin taking small steps towards it, right? And what happens is that when we set up set out in a new journey, we don't have the self-confidence. We don't have the self-confidence or self-belief, which is absolutely necessary in order to reach our goals. Because, you know, we've been pre-programmed in a certain way, you know, by our upbringing and, you know, our family and wherever we grew up, predisposed us where, you know, what we can accomplish in life if we let it. And so we have to make a decision, and then you have to take baby steps towards it. And then you have to focus on executing your plan. And then executing that plan with excellence and maintaining momentum and being resilient. And at times you need to find coaches and partners, and mentors to bring you over the hump. But it's absolutely a lifelong journey. If you know, this is not a, you know, get rich quick scheme at all. In fact, if you look, I mean, I think that if you look at the biographies of the most successful people that ever lived, not one was an overnight sensation.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we see it, and especially in today's, you know, internet, world of social media.
Yes.
It feels like it's an overnight sensation and an overnight success, but it isn't. They spend countless hours, months, years working towards, what it is that they want to accomplish. And I think that people need to keep that in mind.
I agree with you. Yes, you hear of someone who is an overnight success, but then if you look back and read their biography, it's like, whoa, what they had to go through to get there. But then we expect based on false perception.
Exactly. I mean, you look at somebody, the classes that I teach, you look at somebody like Mark Zuckerberg, right, mm-hmm. who was 18 when he founded Facebook. And people might say, well, oh my goodness, he was 18 and he founded Facebook, and by the age of 21, he was a millionaire. Well, if you look at his story, he started programming when he was 6, mm-hmm. and that's all he did. And by the time he was an early teenager, he had, he was so proficient at programming that he programmed this, what became a music sharing program. That Microsoft wanted to buy for him, for $1 million, and he chose to put it on the internet for free.
Mm-hmm.
It goes back to, I don't know if you've read or if your audience has read the book Outliers,
mm-hmm.
but in that book, the author said that it takes about 10,000 hours for us to master anything. Mm-hmm. And, you can't cheat time, right? You have to put in the time. And for me, I couldn't, if I wanted to teach and be a PhD and be able to teach at the academic level, I couldn't cheat it. I had to put in the time.
Yeah.
And I bet you that if I were to calculate how much time I've spent in my craft, it's probably over 10,000 hours.
Interesting. I'm glad that you're putting a number to that so folks could have something to relate to. So we're putting in the time and we're writing down the goals and we've got people to help us and coach us along the way. But you talked about obstacles and I was thinking that fear and doubt, those always creep in. So
they will always be with you.
Yes.
And the reason is that, the brain is an interesting organ. My doctorate is in adult education. Okay, that's my primary focus. And what science teaches is that when you learn something, you're actually creating a network of neurons mm-hmm. in your brain mm-hmm. that will remain with you forever. So it's not something that you can, I learned something and it'll go. Let's say I learn a bad habit and it will go away. It's not so. Once you learn something, whether it's good or bad, it remains with you forever because you've created a network of neurons in your brain that are connected, that will be connected forever. So what you need to do is replace it or enhance it. And so as much time as you spent doubting yourself and fearing, taking certain steps, or doing certain things in a certain way, you're going to have to work as hard on the opposite side of that and believing in yourself and thinking positive thoughts and learning new skills and learning new habits until you create that network of neurons in your brain that can compensate, not necessarily replace, but compensate for that old way of thinking. And so what happens is that the doubt and the fear will always try to creep in. But since you have built or you're spending the time building a new network of beliefs and thoughts and actions and habits, the longer that you do that, it will, even though the other stuff will try to creep in, you just cast it aside and you go in with the new habit. That is a fascinating understanding of how the human brain works, and it's possible. The whole thing of you can't teach old dogs new tricks. There's certain truth to that, but the truth is that we can, if you work hard at trying to replace those old ways of doing things and old thought patterns with new ones, you can do it.
Oh, I love what you're saying. And it is fascinating. And we're talking about science here. I mean, we're talking about a concrete fact that, and I think people can grasp onto that if you're trying to get rid of fear and doubt, to consciously think, all right, I'm going to learn this and I'm going to create a new network of neurons to compensate for the old way of thinking. And that gives you something actually that you feel like you can be working on.
Yeah, and actually the way it works is it's a combination of learning something new. Mm-hmm. Whatever you want to replace the old habit or the old knowledge with, you have to learn it. So you have to learn something new, and then you have to put it into practice and practice and practice and practice and practice and practice. And so you take that knowledge over practice, and over time it creates that new network.
Oh.
And it's absolutely, absolutely fascinating. Now, the reality is that you won't be able to do that unless you find what it is that you like or that you're called to, because it takes time.
Mm-hmm.
And it could be exhausting. And if you don't enjoy, you're going to give up. And that's what, you know, the big successful people have taught us. You know, the late Steve Jobs said, you know, find something that you love to do early on. And then give yourself to it, because what happens is the people who are not necessarily passionate about those things will eventually give up, and they will give you a free, you know, almost a free pass for you to do it. Because if you're passionate about it, you won't give up. And so as long as we spend time, you know, understanding what it is that I'm called to do, and then we learn everything that we can, we put into practice everything that we can that we want to do in our lives, and we give it enough time, it's just like adding 2 + 2.
Wow.
It'll always add up.
Mm-hmm.
It's just not, you know, you can't give up.
What an amazing conversation. And all of this is outlined in your book.
Yes. And, the neurological discussion is probably not in depth there, but it's certainly... You know, I teach it, and there's only so much you can put in a book, right?
Well, yes, and for the average reader, they might not want to get into the whole science of that. I just happen to find that extremely fascinating, something you can grasp onto.
I teach this to my students, you know, and I teach a management class, and I tell them, like, well, look, if you want to be a good manager, this is what you need to do. And especially when you're dealing with people, you know, if you look at somebody who's not motivated, right, when you're let's say you're managing a staff, and you find somebody who's not motivated, chances are, when you look at their neurological network, there's something missing. Either they're not called or not passionate for that, and so you help those people eventually move out of that that position, that job. But if you find somebody who's motivated, who really enjoys it, then all they're missing is probably the knowledge or the experience. And so as a manager, then what you do is you provide either the knowledge or experience. And then if you put the knowledge and experience with time, that will create mastery. And then, of course, once you create mastery, you know, you see miracles, what seems to be a miracle, take place.
And once you see mastery, you lose the employee, right?
and that, of course, is the biggest challenge. And sometimes you have to lose them. You know, I've made several career changes in my life, all for the better, I hope. But it's because I am so focused on what I feel I need to accomplish, that if I feel that this person, you know, job is not giving it for me, then I need to. Graciously, of course, you know, I graciously move to the next phase.
Absolutely. And think of how many managers don't know this and don't really know how to manage effectively and just try to beat people
so
over the head.
People are, you know, slackers.
Yeah.
They're dumb. No, it's not that. It's that something is missing there.
Exactly.
Something in the mix is missing. And as a manager, then it's up to you to figure out what it is that is missing.
Wow. Now, you offer some of this in your speaking events. Share a little bit before we start to wrap up about your speaking events.
Well, you know, I've been teaching at the corporate level for close to 10 years now. And so my focus has been in creating new, giving leaders, especially newer leaders who are beginning their careers, and giving them the tools and the confidence they need in order to succeed in the corporate world. And it's been fascinating. I mean, I get people coming in who are very shy or very unsure of themselves. I've had the privilege, you know, I'm a Latino man, so I've been able to work with minorities, you know, with women and minorities and people who oftentimes feel that they don't have a place or a voice. And after they finish my classes, they feel absolutely empowered to mm-hmm. accomplish anything. And so one of the exercises in one of the companies that I have worked for is that the capstone project is they have to give a presentation before the CEO and the vice chairman of the company. No small feat.
Whoa.
And I've worked with them for 8 weeks. And at the end of the 8 weeks, they have to prepare a presentation, a very persuasive presentation, and give it before these two gentlemen. And I have a very, very high success track record with my teams. They all do very, very well. And in fact, some of these presentations have been implemented in the company and have generated millions and millions mm-hmm. of dollars in revenue. Because people, went through the process. And so, that's my goal. You know, it's my calling, and that's what I really enjoy to do.
Wow. What a pleasure to learn about this. And I want to share all of your contact information with our listeners. So where can folks go to learn more about you, get a copy of your book?
Sure. They can go to reggiepadin.com. That's reggiepadin.com. Or they can go to Amazon.com and look for Get Out of the Dumpster by Reggie Padin.
Now, is there anything else that you would like to talk about today that we didn't get to?
I think that be patient. I think that, I don't know if we mentioned that enough. You know, I think that you need to be patient with your own journey. Enjoy the journey. You know, one of the mistakes that I think I've made over the years, and I've learned, as you get older, and I'm not old by any stretch of the imagination, but I'm in my early 40s, and I've learned that you have to enjoy the journey as much as you think you will enjoy the destination. Because mm-hmm. I have achieved some things, and what happens is that once you achieve a certain level, then you're like thinking, oh, is that it?
Mm-hmm.
I was living in the project. I no longer live in the project. I own an executive home. And now I live in a beautiful condo in downtown Miami with a beautiful view. And, if that was it, I could just say, well, is that it,
Yes.
So you have to learn to enjoy the moment and enjoy the journey and be patient with it. And I think that if we do that, we'll be definitely happier than just work towards a destination, towards a goal, thinking that that's going to make us happy.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to be in for a rude awakening when you get there, because it's not going to make you happy. You're going to feel fulfilled, and then you're going to think to yourself, okay, what's next? And enjoy the journey.
I agree. Such profound advice today. I'm going to give a last little bit of profound advice. As Reggie himself says, limitations are an illusion. Your limitlessness in your own ability to do whatever you set your mind to and work towards. Go for your goals. Realize your dreams. Everything you need to succeed is right inside you in this very moment. And everything you need to help you with this is in his best-selling book. I put that there. Get Out of the Dumpster, a true story on overcoming limitations. So I'm going to send everyone over to reggiepadin.com. It's reggiepadin.com, reggiepadin.com. Reggie, what an awesome conversation. You have given me a lot to think about and to talk about in the future with the people that I work with, and especially in the healthcare field. Thank you so much.
Yeah, it's definitely an honor, and I really enjoyed our time together.